Sustainarumble is co-produced by Cutprint Podcast Network. Big thanks to the show managers and producers for making this episode possible. Make sure to visit www.cutprintpodcast.com and their official channels on Facebook, Anchor, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts to check out an amazing lineup of original Filipino shows you surely will get obsessed with.
Well, I think especially in an urban environment, issues like that are going to always come up because of land values, right? At some point, it's hard to justify land values when, for example, a high rise could yield so much more.
That is Tito Paterno of the International Council on Monuments and Sites, or ICOMOS, in the Philippines. Siya po ay isang conservator for historic buildings na ang trabaho ay makipagtulungan sa mga architects to preserve the longevity ng mga heritage buildings. At ICOMOS Philippines, they focus on upskilling using doctrine methods and science in the practice of preservation.
So, yeah, I get that. I get why they get more tax. It's a step towards perceived modernization and other aspirations.
Hindi mapagkakailang pinalawak ng urbanisasyon at globalisasyon ang ekonomiya ng mga bansa ngayon. We built infrastructures to make way for commercial activities tulad ng mga opisina na pinagtatrabahuan ng mga manggagawa, mga kalsada for the transportation of goods, mga pabrika at paggawaan ng mga produkto na binibili at ginagamit ng mga tao, at iba pang logistical infra para sa imports and exports natin as a country. Clearly, ours is a fast-paced world now. Less the traffic, of course, but sometimes it seems like all these are only really meant for something as far beyond as continuous modernization.
Tama ka, Chantel. When we talk about sustainability in a fast-paced world, two interrelated and very important notions play a very important role: culture and heritage. Ang kultura ay ang ating kasarinlan. Iyan ang turo sa ating mga eskwelahan pa lamang. At ang heritage ay ang pagmana ng mga nakasanayan from generation to generation. Ang mga ito ay parte sa atin ng mga buhay, maging Pilipino man o hindi. And yet through the years, as we have adopted new techniques to live in a modern world with new environmental and economic challenges, it seems as if we have largely neglected to protect these most valued treasures.
Right now, ang daming, kumbaga, problems in the Basilica right now. It seems like it needs a lot of help, especially financially and in terms of like protection, especially on its what's around it. Like, for example, the so-called high-rises daw po.
And that's Bea Dolores, the co-founder of Renacimiento Manila. Bea graduated with a degree in architecture specializing in urban design. With fellow advocate creatives, they started Renacimiento Manila with the prime purpose of reviving the city of Manila's historic culture.
There's like this massive history and kumbaga significance pala around it, but apparently those in the local government are trying to diminish, I guess, instead of being the ones who are protecting it and kumbaga rallying for its integrity and all.
Now, if you had the pleasure of walking or biking around Metro Manila to experience the city, chances are you've come across some, if not all, of these heritage sites. Baka napatigil ka na rin nung nakita mo sila, but depende na lang if you've distinguished their inherent value. No worries though, it's not an individual issue, but a societal one for sure. Paano nga ba tayo nag-transition from having structures na talagang nagsisimbolo ng ating malawak na kasaysayan to slowly losing our souls as Filipinos for the sake of modernization?
Basta people just got so driven with financial, kumbaga, affluence na lang or just to get by to the point that eventually we kind of lost our culture. And eventually, we did not prioritize that.
This is Sustainarumble, the podcast that explores critical issues on sustainable development in the Philippines. I'm Chantel Nieto.
And I am Jonas Marie Dumdum.
In this episode, we talk about the waning Filipino heritage.
Bakit importante ang kultura sa topic na sustainability? Well, sustainability is a global framework with a universal understanding of human nature and societies. Wala po siyang identity talaga na nalalaman. And therefore, if you apply sustainability frameworks in a specific community, chances are all of your efforts will just fail. Bakit? Kasi upang mag-fit yung isang sustainability program sa local context na may kinalaman sa isang lipunan, ang kasarinlan ay marapat na intindihan. Culture represents identity and ethnicity, both of which date back to the time when we, as Filipinos, were still establishing our morals, values, principles, beliefs, and sentiments as a nation.
Hear, hear, Jonas. And how do heritage sites come into play? Well, ang mga ito ay tinuturing na physical manifestations na nagpapatunay ng ating pagkakilanlan mula noon hanggang ngayon. Kaya ganyan na rin ang pagpapahalaga ng National Economic Development Authority o NEDA sa cultural awareness bilang mahalagang instrumento sa Philippine Development Plan na natala noong 2017.
Talking about heritage sites, how is one being classified by the law?
Simply, actually, any structure that is older than 50 years is already considered as an important cultural property. Supposedly, yeah, that's already it. But there's also, kumbaga, these are works by a manlilikhang bayan or like a national artist, or these are declared by the National Museum and the other cultural agencies. They are already considered important cultural properties. The local government can also list down their cultural properties within their area. And if ever naman, if it's not a nationally significant structure, it can be considered na lang din locally.
We know a lot of you are there. You recognize those buildings and structures that are representing our history, even dating back to the pre-colonial period. Kung magtatanong ako ng isang regular na Pilipino na nasa kalsada na magbigay ng limang heritage sites, malaki ang posibilidad na palaging may nababanggit na simbahan dahil sa malapit na relasyon ng Katolisismo sa ating kasaysayan. At dahil ang mga tinatag na Baroque churches ay isa sa anim na properties na isinama ng UNESCO sa kanilang World Heritage List.
Let's think of the Baroque churches of the Philippines. There's San Agustin.
Actually, I would like to say San Agustin then because it's my favorite church.
Really? Sebastian?
Diba, San Agustin Church is the oldest stone church in the Philippines. So it's not just the pride of Manila, but it's also a pride of the entire Philippines. And kumbaga, it's something to be proud of na these have lasted talaga for hundreds of years, hindi po ba?
Yes. I was citing the Baroque churches of the Philippines because these are UNESCO World Heritage Sites, right?
Yes.
So there's San Agustin and then Paway in Ilocos Norte. There's Nuestra Señora de la Asunción in Santa Maria, Ilocos Sur, and Santo Tomas de Villanueva Church in Iloilo. These Baroque churches actually are kind of a hybrid, no? Their walls are incredibly thick and their buttresses are also quite large. These evolved in response to earthquakes. We're on the Pacific Ring of Fire, and as such, we have a lot of earthquakes. And a lot of these churches, like San Sebastian Basilica in Quiapo, for example, that's church number 5 to be built on the same spot. So a lot of them fell because of earthquakes. Consequently, a lot of their walls got thicker and thicker and thicker. And then even if they fell, then they got buttressed, right? So a lot of our Baroque churches now are actually shorter than their predecessors, and they're lower, right? Because if you build something tall, it's more susceptible to an earthquake.
At kung nakabisita ka na sa mga lumang simbahan sa Ilocos Norte at Ilocos Sur, maaaring nakadaan ka na rin sa isa sa 6 na heritage properties recognized by UNESCO, yung historic city of Vigan dito sa atin. Baka nakapagkalesa ka na rin sa Calle Crisologo at natanawang iba't ibang mga kabahayan na nagsisimbolo din ng ating kasaysayan. And maybe there you've seen the architecture and construction of old houses during the Spanish colonization era.
Pero ang tanong, ang bahay na ba ito ba ay talagang all that Spanish? Well, hindi naman 100%, no? Much like the old Baroque churches that were strengthened and fortified through the years, ang bahay na bato ay isa na ring evolution, no, from a very popular predecessor.
What happened was before the Spanish colonial period actually adapted what was the principles in the bahay kubo. So before they came, the Philippines had this certain building typology, which is in the bahay kubo, it has the principle of breathability. I'm going to pronounce it better. Breathability. Therefore, during the Spanish colonial period, it transformed into a very unique building typology na sobrang layo sa bahay kubo, but it has the same kumbaga principles, which is the bahay na bato, or some call it arquitectura mestiza, but it apparently it's just a portion of the bahay na bato typology. Basically, what it had is that it transformed. Yung breathability niya was because of other factors like huge windows, it's sliding, and then there's like kalado inside. And in terms of floor plan, similar din siya na kung saan yung itaas, kumbaga the upper quarters is the living quarters as well as kumbaga where people gets accommodated and kumbaga people can move around and yeah.
And it keeps evolving and evolving and evolving.
Actually, even during the American colonial period, they kind of adopted the principles. They just tweaked it based on the new technologies. As the technology improves, the materials gets different. And sometimes the principles still get adapted. So there are like American colonial buildings that are sustainable as well, or like has good circulation and air.
But has the evolution been truly to our favor? Siguro sa evolution ng human species from apes, oh, but not necessarily pagdating sa lokal na arkitektura.
Imagine you're in, say, a bahay na bato. You're in the upper floor where there's better chance of wind. The windows are huge, right? Sometimes the entire wall to the exterior, more than half of it is one giant window, right? You can open the ventanillas as wide as you can. And you have the ventanillas below and then on top. The layout also is such that the breeze can move throughout the house. And they had calados between rooms, so air could waft through the rooms. I guess this also meant that you could hear exactly what was going on in the adjacent room. But just that whole approach to that design is so different from being in a high rise and how that's designed today, right? It's really designed around not the environment anymore, but everything can be engineered and controlled so that comfort is manufactured by aircon. So in a way, it's much easier, and designers are not forced to design so closely with nature.
And this is one of the fundamental reasons why problems are emerging in heritage. With the continuous attempt to adopt the practices of more economically progressive countries, nagsimula na maglaho yung foundation ng mga infrastruktura na hindi lang habitable para sa mga tao, pero nagsisimbolo ring representasyon ng ating kultura na lumago through hundreds of years. Ngayon, nagmistulang lifeless at soulless na ang urban landscape ng Pilipinas.
I think the shift from traditional construction to industrialized construction means that the cultures are no longer restrained to build using locally available natural materials, because now you have steel and glass and concrete globally available. This means, though, also that the buildings look very, very similar to one another. And you go to any city and you will find buildings that don't speak about its local context. It looks like it could be anywhere in the world. And so on the one hand, it's kind of good for the environment, because if we stuck to wood and kapis and limestone, how much would we actually have left, no? However, this doesn't mean that the existing building materials are completely green. Of course, the greenhouse gases and transportation of these materials makes it also not the greenest thing. We're using the same materials globally, right? Reinforced concrete, GI sheets. And so there's a globalization of architecture and design, and away from the traditional sort of nature-based vernacular architecture. And this is a global thing. We're also less in sync with nature. And because of technology, right, we're not having to catch the wind or think about cross-ventilation so we have a cooler home, because then we have the luxury of just turning the aircon on. So I think we're more removed from nature, and these modern buildings are very similar looking to each other globally.
Pero anong ibig sabihin nito for cultural or heritage sites? Going back to the classification of a heritage site to be protected and preserved by law, maraming unprotected sites ang vulnerable sa mga bagong development plans na pwedeng mag-tamper sa kanilang health at longevity, may it be a built or natural entity. Several of those known sites known to us are protected. Pero paano yung mga bagay na hindi? Isa pa ito sa ating kailangan pag-isipan mabuti.
There are several tiers of designation. But does this mean that everything that's important in this country is protected? By no means. Does it mean all of the country's most important historic structures or sites are on the highest list? Not really. You know, we have quite a lot of very important sites that may not be there yet. And if I can bring attention to, for example, something as ubiquitous as a river. The Pasig River is not culturally protected. And I know usually when people think of culture, they think of a Baroque church. But heritage is something that we inherit and value and means something to us today. The Pasig River has a long and rich history.
More on preserving heritage and culture on the next episode of Sustain and Rumble.
Sustainability meant the capability of the current generation to meet its own needs without sacrificing future generations to meet their own needs. And so I think that's one big aspect we need to think about when we think about heritage, because that's a very limited resource. And if we keep it up, especially in urban environments, we'll be living in cities that have no nods to the past.
Paano natin masisimulang bigyan ng value ang mga old heritage sites at tulungan ang ating gobyerno, pati na rin ang mga involved institutions at mga profesional para maintindihan ito? Ano pa ba ang mga areas na kailangan ng adjustment para tiyakin na ang mga heritage sites ay makakasama sa modern criteria pagdating sa sustainability? Why certain aspects of old buildings could contribute to the overall sustainability of urban infrastructure?
Stay tuned as we give you answers to these questions in the next episode. Please make sure you're following the show wherever you're listening and tick the Get Notified on New Episodes button if you're on Spotify to receive a push notification once the new episode comes out. Do follow us on our social media accounts to stay informed on everything sustainability and join our community group to engage with us more. You can find all the links to these sites in the episode's description section. See you!